It's under control.
I'm sure we can afford it.
I'm glad I don't struggle with that.
Never been better.
Get any better than this.
All right, welcome to part one of a brand new series we've entitled Masquerade. So glad to have you here today, as well as we're so glad to have those that are just now joining us online. Come on, everybody, can you help me welcome all those that are just now joining us online? Good to have you along for the ride. Amen. Really, really excited about the things that you just heard about that are happening around here at Crosspoint Worship Center regarding the small groups. Be sure and connect with Pastor Steve, the guy playing the mean guitar up here after service, and he'll give you more information on that. You can also go online to crosspointworshipcenter.com and look those groups up and find out more information, contact information there as well. And let me also say, I mentioned this before, I'm saying this not just for the people that are here in attendance in this house, but also for those that are watching online. We'd be glad to have you join us in any of our small groups, and you do not have to attend here. You don't have to be a member. Come on, just be a part, and these happen in different locations. We'd love to have you with us. Those just got started, so we're really excited about that. You heard a little bit of excitement during the Crosspoint news regarding small groups, because the fact is we're not just a church with small groups, we're a church of small groups. And so that's just huge, because we believe that real life, yeah, come on, yeah, there's that excitement again. Because we just believe that real life change happens in the context of relationships. I know you love the music on Sunday mornings, and you love the phenomenal preaching on Sunday mornings. Yeah, I was just waiting on that, right. Just a little humor there. But I it might hurt my feelings a little bit, but I can't do everything for you here. And everything doesn't happen here on Sunday mornings. And so we encourage you to get a relationship where somebody can get next to you and get close to you, and you can get real with them, and we can get real with each other. And so just be sure and connect with that. Talking about getting real, that's really what this series is all about that we're jumping into. We just finished a series called Run. I was thinking, looking at that Financial Peace University clip there, that I really needed Dave Ramsey to be my illustration man, you know, run. But we're talking about running to God and running to know Him and getting in relationship with Him. I encourage you, if you missed any of that, to go online at crosspointworshipcenter.com. There you can listen to that again, and you can download notes there. Also today, if you're watching online, there are notes there available for you. We're going to be taking some notes today, and they're also here in-house. They're there in your worship guide. I've got some fill-in-the-blanks for you. But as we are moving out of that series Run, we're going into a series that's going to be a little bit more challenging, okay? Our series that we just came out of kind of pointed to some of the things that we do around here. One of the main things is that we want people to know God. And so our first point was to run with passion towards God. And so, but then as we know God, then we also know that we need to find freedom, because we may be saved. We may be in relationship with Christ, but there are still some things that we have called issues. And we all got issues. And so that's why small groups are so important. It helps us to work those things out and find freedom through that means. And so, and then another thing we want people to do after they find freedom, we want people to discover their purpose. Now that I'm free, now what am I designed to do? I'm not who the world or what my past said I was. I'm free from that. But now who am I? And once you discover who that is, who you are and your purpose in life, then let's get on a team and make a difference. And that's when it really becomes fun, when you're pouring into somebody and you're making a difference in somebody else's life. And so I encourage you to look at those four things. But this past series was kind of focused on that first point. This series is more focused on that second thing of finding freedom and working through our issues. And I really believe it's going to be a great series, because all of us have these areas that challenge us. There's this side that we present on Sunday morning, and everything's fine, everything's good, everything's wonderful, I'm okay, my wife's good, you know, my job's good, my dog's good, everything's good, you know. But the fact is that oftentimes there's another side of us, and so there's two of us. There's a side that we mask. There's that, you know, dark side that we don't want anybody to see. And if somebody were to see that side of us and know those deep dark secrets, then I don't think they would like me anymore. I don't think my family would accept me. I don't think my friends would really want to hang around me if they knew this other thing. And the fact is, I've always dreamed of having a church where we don't just come in and put up a front and have a mask that we hide behind and pretend everything is okay. But my heart's desire is that we have a church that's a safe place where we can be real and we can be authentic and we can be honest about who we are, and we're all in this thing together, right? If you're new here at Cross Point, hey, we're all in this hospital, okay? We might have just got admitted a little bit earlier than you did, but we're all in need of help. And so and that's why God put us together, so we can help one another. The Bible says, pray for one another that you may be healed. And so there's that healing process that God uses, and that's one another that He uses people. So I want us to look at this thing, because sometimes in our life there's this one area, again, that is difficult to deal with. And we hide that, we shield that, we protect that, and we put on a mask. I look at this word masquerade, and the definition of that word masquerade is it's an action or an appearance that is merely a disguise just for show. And so we just hide behind this thing. But again, we want to take the mask off and get real and get some help. And I believe today's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. We're going to learn some things. It's really going to help us. Paul, actually, I love Paul, because Paul was very much honest with his struggles in Scripture. You see him being honest and real, saying, you know, he doesn't want to do this thing, but he does it anyway. And the things he don't want to do, that's what he does. Those things that he wants to do, he doesn't do. And he talks about those struggles in Scripture. I want us to look there in your message notes. We'll have it up here on the screen for you, the Scripture that really puts it very plain from the Message version of this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. So we're just not going to do that. I'm not going to wear masks. I'm not going to pretend I got it all going on and I'm a bag of chips too. You know, I'm just going to be real. And he says, we don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And I think that's what we do a lot of times. We maneuver and we manipulate behind the scenes, but rather we keep everything we do and say out in the open. And so that, when we follow this recipe, this that Paul is saying to us, it's going to mean for us getting a lot healthier. And so let me just set this up this way. In this series, we're going to hear some things that you say, well, yeah, I can agree with that. And then we're going to hear some other things that we're going to push back on. I'm going to tell you, we're going to push back, and we're going to say, well, that may work for some, but that you don't know my situation. And I again, this is going to be a challenging 6 weeks. We're going to talk about six topics that I believe, if we follow this and we follow the Word of God and what God shows us through His Word, it's really going to help us. So I encourage you, be a part of every one of these installments of this series. But today we're talking about this thing of conflict. We're going to unmask conflict. And so we oftentimes ask people, well, how are you doing? And we say, well, I'm fine and well, but we're not, because behind the scenes, there's scuffles, there's fights that are going on, there's things going on, and those conflicts, whether it be at home or at work or school or wherever, they begin to wear us down, begin to change really who we are as a person. So we're going to pull the mask off this morning. In fact, sometimes we try to hide the mask with laughter and say, hey, it's fine, good, we're good, man, we're good. And in inside, we're hurting. We're hurting. Look at what Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 13 says. It says, laughter cannot mask a heavy heart. We laugh. We try to mask it with laughter. But when the laughter ends, guess what? The grief still remains. And so we're going to expose this thing of hiding behind a mask, and also, many times when we're dealing with something, we don't handle it the right way. We cover it with laughter. We cover it with different things. So I'm going to expose some of the wrong ways that we handle conflict at times. And write these down. When conflict arises, we're tempted to dominate it. And I'm just going to dominate that thing. I'm going to power up. and dominate that thing. And you might be thinking, I'm living with that person. It's, you know, the one that says, I'm in charge. I'm the big daddy around here is what I say or else. And so when there's conflict, there's that version of, I'm going to yell. I'm in control of this situation. I'm going to take charge. I'm going to show them who I am. I'm going to tell you, that doesn't work too well. You might think it does. That may be your mode, but that's not the right way to handle conflict. Another way that we handle conflict is we just ignore it. We just ignore it. And it's kind of the opposite of the dominate. And so we think, well, if we just leave it alone, it'll fade away. And here's a myth for you, that time will heal. Well, in a time, it'll be okay. That's a myth, because time never does heal. Actually, time can oftentimes make a situation worse. In fact, the Bible talks about it, when it's left unchecked, it can turn into a root of bitterness. In other words, that thing's now grown roots, and now it's even harder to pull up out of your life because it's been there so long, and you haven't dealt with it. And so time doesn't heal. The only one that really heals is God, okay? God heals. Now, sometimes he uses time, or he heals over a process of time, but time in and of itself doesn't heal. But we think, well, we'll just ignore it and it'll go away. But actually, that's not true. Another way that we are tempted to handle conflict is that we want to whine about it. Whine about it. And so we don't want to fix it. We just want to fuss about it, right? I mean, our theme song is Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. And we nobody knows. You just don't know how bad it is. And every time you talk to the person, it's like, oh. And they just whine and they're miserable. And they want to make everybody else around them miserable. Yeah, have you got a – no, don't raise your hand on that. I was starting to say – don't raise your hand if you got a roommate or a spouse on that one. But I mean, we just whine and complain and just, and again, we don't really want to, we just think that's going to solve it. Just whine about it. But we don't want to really fix it. Another way that we're tempted to handle conflict is we just want to white flag it. You know, and we think, actually, some of us think this is the godly way, peace at any price. You know, just, you know, pull out the white flag. I surrender. You're right. We just don't want conflict. It's okay. You win. But yet that issue's still there. It hasn't resolved in you, but you're just ready to surrender. And that's not really a healthy way either. It doesn't solve anything. And then here's another one that I believe is oftentimes a preferred choice of this generation, and I want to confront it boldly today. And that is that some people just say, well, let's just end it. Just end it. So you go, let's end, I'll go my way and you go your way, and that'll fix it. And you know that doesn't fix it. You say, well, I'll get a divorce and that'll solve everything. But do you know you get the divorce and she's over there and you're over here, but guess what? She's still right here with you because you're still carrying that thing around. It hasn't really solved. You haven't fixed it. I've heard of situations where brothers won't talk to brothers or sisters to sisters because of something that was said a long time ago, years ago, and they haven't talked to each other in years. And when you really look at that close thing and you're thinking, and you find out really what it's about, you think, oh my goodness, that's so small, but yet it's been built up and it's grown legs to it, you know, and then we don't talk. I've seen people that are on outs. I know someone right now in my mind that's on outs with their in-laws and won't go around them, won't talk to them, won't interact with them. I'm thinking, you turned the in-laws into outlaws. What's wrong, you know, here? But we just think, well, and some of us live this way, and we have this card that we hold, and we say, well, I got this card, and if you cross this line, I'm going to use this card to get out of this. I'm holding this card. You cross the line, and it's my quit card. I'm quitting. I'm going to end it. And then we lie to ourselves. We say, well, it'll be better that way. And we tell our kids, it'll be better. It'll be better that way. And it's not. It's not. I'm telling you, it's a lie. It's a lie. I just want to confront it head on. It's a lie. It's a lie. And we say, well, I just think the grass will be greener on the other side, and we just think life will be better on the other side. I got to tell you that, yeah, it may be greener on the other side, but I promise you the water bill's higher. The water bill's higher on the other side, right? Okay. Right? And there's a reason, and it'll cost you in the long run. So that isn't the solution. And I think sometimes we think it is. I've seen people do this in marriage. I've seen people do this on their jobs. For some people, it's a way of life. I'll quit my relatives. I'll quit my friends. Some even say I'll quit my church. You know, and we just resolve it, and we hop around from relationship to relationship, from job to job, from school to school, from church to church, and that's really not the solution. But I want to give us a principle that's really when you hear this now, it's going to be seemingly over simplistic, but yet it's extremely difficult to do. And I believe there will be few here today that will accept this challenge and walk out of here and do this thing. And when you hear it, you're probably going to give me some pushback immediately. You're going to say, well, no, that doesn't work. That may work for most, but you don't know my situation. You don't know her. You don't know him. It's not me. It's her. It's him. Okay? But I just want to encourage you, give me the next few minutes and don't give me any pushback, please. I'm asking for your permission to pour into your life some things I believe that will really help us. And I believe when you get this, what I'm about to share with you, I believe actually it may solve many of your problems, if not all of your problems. It may be the solution that solves all your problems. You're thinking, now how can you just say a blanket statement like that? Well, I just want you to consider this principle. And it really comes from two verses that are from the book of James. James that we're talking about here was actually the brother of Jesus. Well, he was a half-brother of Jesus. You know, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit, so Joseph really wasn't his biological father. But then Joseph and Mary are married, and they had other kids, right, after Jesus. And so really, James would be his half-brother. Interestingly, a little side note here, James believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Now get this, if the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus wasn't enough to make you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, the fact that his own brother believed that he was the Son of God, that should convince you right there. Think about it, right? What would you have to do to convince your brother that you're the Son of God, right? That you're God. I mean, really, think about it. I don't think I'm going to convince my sisters I'm God. I'm really not. Now, they might believe I'm the devil, but But think about it. Just a little side note there. But even James knew that he was the Son of God. That's pretty convincing. A little side note. All right. Look at James with me, if you would. James chapter 4. In verse 1, it asks a question. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? There's the question. To which you're probably saying, well, that's easy. It's her. Or it's him. It's the traffic out here. It's all the construction in Charlotte that's going on. It's that boss that I got. If you knew the boss that I have and what I have to put up with, it's my coworker. It's you know, and in fact, when we say this and we say, well, it's him or it's her, usually we've got a story to back it up. And we could validate that finger pointing. I could tell you why, right? But interestingly, we always want to blame somebody, but there's never been someone who's blamed their way into happiness. You ever notice that? It doesn't work. So we think it's the source of our conflict is all these things, but I want to just present to you that the source of your conflict is not your circumstances, it's not traffic, it's not your mama, it's not your daddy, it's not your brother or your sister, it's not your spouse, it's not your kids. But there's something else going on. And look at this next question he says. He says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? So he's, hear me out here. So he's saying, I want you to reason this. There's, when you look at everywhere there's conflict, you know, you think, well, there's a reason I'm mad. There's a reason I'm upset. It's this crazy traffic. It's this or that. But Paul is saying, could it be something else? Again, I can just feel the pushback here, but could it be that it's you, that it's me, right? Could it be that it's something within us? Because interestingly, there is a common denominator in all your conflicts. You know what that is? And in all your arguments that you have, there's a common denominator. It's you. I don't know about you, but I've been there for every one of my arguments. I've been there for every one of them. Haven't missed a one. I told somebody the other day, I said, everywhere I go, there I am. So you get a break. I don't. I'm just saying. But there's a common denominator there. And so it's something to consider. And then he goes on to say this. He says that you want something, but don't get it. So there's something inside of you that you want something. You wanted something, and that's the conflict, that you couldn't get it. Yeah, I wanted you to get out of my way, and you cut me off, and you didn't. And now I'm mad. I'm mad at traffic. I'm mad at the dog that won't stop barking. I'm mad, you know, because it didn't go my way. Let me just give you an illustration. I was in traffic the other day, since we're talking about traffic. And, you know, confession's good for the soul, bad for the reputation. But here I go. So I'm at this light, and the light, you know, is green. Okay, traffic's moving slow. And you're trying to get to the next, cross the next intersection. Come on. Come on, people. Just get through the intersection, you know. Just, it's green. Are you waiting for it to turn yellow and red just so you could stop to keep me from getting to the next intersection? Somebody's connecting with me here. And so I'm sitting there, you know, come on, don't look at me so super spiritual. Y'all probably do it too. You talk to the car. They can't hear you, but you're talking to the car. And you're saying, go on. And you don't say it that easy. Go on. That's what you're saying. And it, you know, you're yelling. Here it is. There it is. Say, I'm there with you guys, okay? And so, and I was actually on the phone at the time with my son on the way to work. When all this was going down, and he's hearing me, I'm out of the conversation now, talking to the car in front of me, saying, "Go on." Well, sure enough, that's exactly what happened. The light turns yellow and red, and the car just stops. And I'm like one car from him. You know, he's the only car keeping me from getting across the intersection. And I feel the love in this room right now. So, and I'm thinking, and so I'm like livid. Livid, you know, oh, you got to be kidding me. And I'm slamming my fist down like this. And then I did the next thing, blow the horn, you know, knee jerk reaction, blow the horn. Just come on, don't say you've never done that. So you're blowing the horn like, why didn't you go? In that moment, the passenger door car of the car in front of me opens. And I said, talking to my son, uh-oh, this is not good. Mr. T stepped out, gold chain and all, man, threw up his hands at me, and you know what I did? I said, I'm in trouble. I'm going to die. And I thought, you know, this didn't work out too well. And I'm just saying, we just think, you know, it's the other person. So here's what we do. When we don't get what we want, we react the very unhealthy ways. Okay, let me just say it. Very unhealthy. And not only that, but Paul then also goes on to say that you kill and covet because you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You say, no, wait a minute, I've never killed anybody. Well, have we? Because do we not kill people with our words? Do not kill people with our actions and our reactions. Maybe you don't even put it into words. Maybe it's just your body language. You know, come on. Anybody married besides me? I'm just saying. Okay. You know, in fact, there's times where we get these things going in our head. We have an argument. And we could think of everything to say. Y'all ever have those voices in your head, and you got zingers, man. You know what you could say. And if you can't think of it now, you think of it later. Oh, I should have said. And then you go home and you tell the wife, oh, I would have, I could have, I should have, you know. We're having these imaginary conversations in our head. And you even, if you're not careful, you even have an audience that's saying, yeah, you're right, you're right. You know, you have a whole audience of people backing you up in your mind. Yeah, everybody would agree with where I'm at with this. And he goes on to say, but you cannot have what you want. You can't have what you want. Okay? Stay with me. I'm not quite ready for that. You cannot have what you want. Here's a revelation. You can't always have what you want. Right? You can't always get what you want. In America, we get very disappointed. Everybody, you know, you hear this, I'm living the dream, living the dream. And America's dream is you just get whatever you want. You just buckle down, do your job. And I believe in working hard and doing your part and being taking personal responsibility to be successful. I'm not discounting all of that. But I just want to tell you, here's the truth. Earth was never designed to satisfy all your desires. Never was. Earth was never designed for that. People were never will never be able to satisfy all your desires. Right? It's true. So we're going to fuss and fume when we don't get what we want. And because we're trying to get something from that someone that and something that really they can never really give us. But get this. What if in the middle of that we didn't go there and fuss and fume because we don't get what we want? And I know the appetite will still be there, but yet what if we pause, take some of the angst off, right? And then do this, which is the next thing that is recommended here by James. You do not have because you do not ask God. So we're looking for people or situations or things to satisfy us and give us what we want. But James is saying perhaps this is the problem. James is saying this is the solution, actually, to your conflict. And he's saying it's not them, it's you, it's me. And so when we won't and we want to fuss and argue, why don't we go and we talk to God instead? And why do we not do this? Well, we know why we oftentimes don't do this, because it would deflate the whole situation, right? I mean, before we send that email, before we file for divorce, before we leave and before we yell, before we run down the hall yelling, perhaps we need to pause and discover that God has some other solutions. Now, I believe the Bible is not just for us to feel good on Sunday mornings and have this spiritual moment and spiritual high on Sunday mornings, but the Bible is very practical in giving life-changing problems, and it's going to change our lives. So it's a solution that works on Monday. So I want to give us four ways, honestly, that will really help us. Okay, four takeaways that will help us. And I believe if we put these into practice, it's going to change our life. So I want to challenge you this week. Do these four things. Instead of going for what you feel like your instincts are and blowing up or what have you, go to these four things. And I believe that it's going to change your life. All right, look at number one. Write this down real quick. Number one, look within myself. To which you're thinking, okay, well, I'll write it down, but it's really her. It's really him. And if you want to talk to me after church, I'll tell you why. Okay. But that's not what Jesus said. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And you're thinking, because the plank, the 2x4 is in their eye, not mine. I'm the one that's got the speck. That's the way we feel about it. They're the problem. And he says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? So Jesus is saying, it's not them. He says, it's you. Here's something interesting to ponder. Have you ever noticed how tough we are on others, but on how much grace we give ourselves? we give others the benefit, we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, but we go after other people. Or how we, you judge yourself based on your intentions. Well, I didn't mean to, but we judge people on their actions. And some of us have done that so long we don't even realize we're doing it. We become professionals at it. We just automatically blame somebody else. I'm the one that's right. And we want to be right. We want to be right. Everybody wants to be right. But did you know that you can be right and still wrong? You could be right and win the day and still lose. You can go into court and win the court battle and walk out and still think you're victorious, but yet inside you're losing. And so, everybody, before you yell, before you honk, before you send the email, respond with looking within yourself and saying, why am I feeling this way? Look at the speck in your, look at the 2x4. Come on, look at the plank in your own eye. So look within myself. Secondly, let me give you this one, this takeaway. Talk to God first. So we go to God before we go to people. Do you know how much conflict could be solved if we would actually do this? Well, this is real simple, Pastor, but how many of us are going to walk out and actually practice this? And what a difference it would make in our life. I've heard of pastors who will bring in, the couples will come in for counseling, for marriage counseling, having trouble in their marriage. And they come in, and one of the tactics is this, that the first thing you do when they walk in is you say, well, let's pray before we get started. Sir, would you pray for her? And then, ma'am, would you pray for him? And just bow your head, and you wait. And usually it starts out with, I mean, they're thinking, oh, I can't do this. I mean, they're already mad at the person. They're coming there for counseling. And it starts out with, God, judge them, get them, burn them, something. But by the end of it, it softens. It's amazing. It somewhere in that prayer, it begins to soften up. Why? It's because we're taking it to God, and God changes us. Have you ever read the Psalms and David? He'll start out, he'll say, God, I mean, the first verse is, God, aren't you listening? I mean, are you there? Do you care what's going on? I mean, here I am. You know, God, would you please get them or do something? And by the end of the Psalm, you read it, you'll say, oh, Lord God, for you alone are worthy and holy, and you alone are in charge. You know, I mean, what happened? Because in the midst of that, there was a change that happened when he began to take it to God in prayer. And so for us, oftentimes, it's the last thing we want to do, but it should be our first response, not our last resort. I mean, what would really happen if you were to go to God first, before you go storming down the hall? Your kids would like you more. Your employees would like you more. Look at what Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And look what happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, someone once said, the Word of God doesn't need proof, it just needs practice. The Word of God actually does work. And you say, but they're the one that's really wrong. It really is them. But we still go to God. We still go to God. I just think we've got to learn to pause. Look at ourselves. Pause. Take it to God first. We've lost the art of pausing. We run here, we run there with chaos. One of the installments of this series is we're going to unmask chaos. There's a lot of chaos going on. But the Bible has answers for us. Proverbs 18 and 13 says, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Right? So it's really, I know it's talking probably about listening to people, but it's also listening to God. Right? Listen to God as well. James, let me give you this extra verse that's not in your notes, but write this down. He says, and this is in James as well, that he's saying again, my dear brothers, take note of this. So I'm asking you to take a note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And my theory is if you do these first two, the third's going to take care of itself. right? That will happen. Point number three, let God do the work in me. Let God do the work in me. Here's the truth. God uses the stuff that we go through. He allows the stuff. God doesn't tempt you, but He allows you to be tested. Parents do it every day. They make their kids suffer through homework so they make a good grade so they can get a job and be successful. It's painful for the kid, but you're going to do it because you know it's for their good. And some of us keep having to take the same test over and over again. Maybe we're the reason why it all gets prolonged because we won't learn and God has, okay, we failed that time, we'll have to retake that test again. You know? Reminds me of Groundhog Day. You know? Just get it right. Well, we go through this, but God's working within us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, so truly be glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though the going is rough for a while down here, these trials are only to test your faith, to see whether or not it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests gold and purifies it, and that's pretty hot. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tested, or after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day of His return. In other words, it's going to benefit you. And oftentimes, we bail out of the very school God has intended to develop us with. And I've seen that so many times. We bail out. We don't allow people to pour out. We disagree, and if we disagree, it doesn't set well, so we're gone. We're out of the equation. Instead of remaining and allowing God to use that process to grow us and change us. And here's the big idea of the day. Number four, write this down. Don't expect from man what should only come from God. Here's what we need to do. We need to lower our expectations of people and raise our expectations of God. Right? And I think this is many cases a problem with relationships, with marriage. We expect what only God can do. But we expect people to do that. Only God can bring peace to our heart. Your circumstances, your wealth, your job, your education, none of that will bring true satisfaction. Even your relationships won't complete you. You're only completed in a relationship with Christ. Right? That's where change happens. I'll give you this last verse. It's in Psalm 33:22. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone and you alone. So how do we experience this peace? How do we unmask this thing of conflict? We look within ourselves. We go to God in prayer, right? We go to Him first, and we let Him do this work within us, and we look to Him. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? It all begins with what that last point is, and that's we look to God. We look to God. And really, the most important thing we can do is put Him first in every dealing we have in life, and whatever the conflict is or whatever the issues of life are, whatever our day is, whatever our life, we put Him first and foremost above everything else. And really, that's what salvation is. It's reordering your life to reflect that He is first. Now, for a lot of us, it may be that He's on our list, but He's not top of the list. Guess what? He requires Himself to be first. Because when he's first, he's able to make everything else be put in proper order. And until he is, it's nothing but chaos and conflict. But when we put him first, everything else changes. He has the power to bless the rest when we put him first. And that's really what salvation is. So here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to offer this gift of salvation. And it may be that you've never come to Christ and never really accepted this gift before. You've never really ever surrendered your life to him completely. And maybe for some of you, though, that you have, but yet other things have taken his place and it's out of order. And you need to reorder your life and put him first. I want to give us that opportunity today by simply leading you in a prayer. If you're here in this house or you're watching online, I want you just to allow God to be first in your life. And this is the way we do it. We don't have people to stand or come to the front. We don't embarrass you. But while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I'm going to simply lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. And we're going to have everybody praying this prayer out loud, that just for support of those that need to pray this. But if that's you today and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? That's me. I'm ready to make a decision today for Christ. Would you just lift up a hand and you put it right back down? Yes. Good job. Good job. Good job. So proud of you. Excellent. So proud. Best decision you ever made. Those of you watching online, I encourage you to join us. Join us. Right where you're seated, just pause. Be still. Pray this with us. Come on. Right now, all I'm going to do is help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. And this will be the best decision of your life, making him first. Come on, let's pray this prayer. Just say something like this. Say, today, Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving your life for me, for loving me first, for coming for me. Today, I turn to you. I turn from my past to follow you. I turn from my way to follow your way. I'm asking you to come in. Forgive me for going my way. Come inside. Make me brand new. Come on, pray this. I give you my life. And with all my heart, I will follow you as you help me. Lord, I thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it. Lord, I celebrate with them, and I pray in the name of Jesus, the peace of God, which comes from knowing you, God, would settle in their heart. But day by day, they will follow you. God, they'll do life the way you designed it, and that's the way that works, and that's the way of peace and life. Lord, I bless them, and I pray, God, that you would help us as a people always seek you first. Be first in our life. Be first in our church. Be first in our homes. Be first, God. Because we don't just want a Savior. We want you to be Lord, God. And that's when peace comes. We thank you, God. We declare your Lordship in our life and peace in our life. Use us, God. Work in us and through us for your glory. For the increase of your kingdom, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.